Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Congratulations on getting through 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Brandon Kiley here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. I just saw this from Jason King of Bleacher Report, hearing that Rex Walters is in the mix at UMKC. The former KU NBA standout spent two seasons as the head coach of Florida Atlantic and 8 seasons at San Francisco. UMKC. I don't know who else you have on your list, but you need to hire Rex Walters.
I mean, that seems pretty obvious. That'd be a good hire.
You need buzz. You need excitement. That would bring excitement and buzz. That would bring a name that is connected to the area that people would go see, people would want to support, would excite the people that donate money. People would go, especially early on, do some meet and greets with Rex Walters. This is a no-brainer hire. If you're telling me that Rex Walters is interested in taking the head coaching job at UMKC, he needs to be announced tomorrow. He needs to be announced before the NCAA tournament starts. Wednesday, you guys need to have a Rex Walters press conference. I'm serious. If he's interested and he has that kind of head coaching experience, he needs to be the head coach at UMKC.
It's at Nevada right now, it looks like.
Coming up after the hits, we will announce our winner of our contest. We gave away a hotel. We also gave away 4 tickets, 2 for Thunder Nuggets, 2 for Thunder versus Mavericks. We'll tell you the winner of that contest after the hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
1.
Hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, now open in the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Seed out of the bracket has officially been revealed. KU, one of the big winners yesterday. The committee placed Kansas as a 4 seed in the Midwest region. That means KU could play in Kansas City if they make it to the Sweet 16. What'd you think about that, Bill Self?
Bill sounds a lot different than normal.
I don't know why Bill wasn't working. All right. Bill Self had said
great.
He was...
Dynamite dropping money.
Bill Self said he was surprised about it. C-Dot, are you surprised that KU ended up getting in the Midwest despite the lackluster conference slate?
I'm a little bit surprised that they got the Midwest. Actually, you know what? I'll play it for you. I'll play what Bill Self had to say.
I think we got what we deserved, without question. I think our bracket is extremely difficult. And the reason I say that is because we played Northeast in the first game. And we've been doing this a long time. It's a 2-game tournament. That's it. It's a 2-game tournament. And we have to be really, really our best this weekend, this Thursday and Saturday.
I think it's twofold. I think Kansas got what they deserved in terms of being a 2-seed. I don't really think KU had much of an argument to be a 3-seed in the NCAA tournament. I simply disagree with what region they got placed in. Now, it might not end up mattering. They might lose in the first round. They might lose in the second round. Like, nothing's off the table with this KU team. But I simply only disagree with what region they got placed in. I think that the pod system should be a reward for higher-seeded teams. It's not just a KU argument. Tennessee, in theory, should not have to play Cincinnati in Columbus, Ohio. Iowa State, who is the 6th seed in their region, should not have the opportunity to play in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm not saying you shouldn't be a 6th seed. You shouldn't be a 6th seed in that region. I think that too many times we see that the integrity of the bracket comes second to financial gain for the NCAA. That if you're North Carolina, and in my opinion, you are the 2nd best team in this tournament, your reward in the 3rd round should not be playing Kansas in Kansas City, in my opinion.
2.
Hit number 2, K-State not quite so lucky with their draw. They ended up as a 4 seed in the South. They have to travel all the way to San Jose for the first round. With Dean Wade's health still a question mark, Tito, what do you make of K-State as we head into the NCAA tournament?
I just don't know how we know really what to make of Kansas State. I certainly think they're a good team. I think they're a good team without Dean Wade. But I just think your margin of error goes down a little bit. And in a tournament that is wrapped around margin of error, that's not good. I wouldn't be surprised if UC Irvine pulls off an upset. K-State doesn't shoot the ball incredibly well. They have a typical offensive day performance. They get a little bit of foul trouble. You need that extra scoring push that Dean Wade provides, and he's not there for you. It sucks for K-State fans for the simple fact of Dean Wade is a really talented player. If we had to make a list of players in the NCAA tournament, if Wade was healthy, he's a what, top 25 player, top 30 player in the tournament? For the fact that in two consecutive years you could not have Dean Wade available is just a very disappointing thing. Let's see what happens with Wade, but I think we've done this song and dance before. If you're a K-State fan, I would not be anticipating having Dean Wade available for the NCAA tournament, which is just very disappointing as a fan.
Third hit today, the Chiefs have added to their secondary. They signed Bashaud Breeland a year after CDOT said they would to a one-year deal worth up to $5 million. According to Pro Football Focus, Breeland allowed the second lowest passer rating over the second half of last year. CDOT, is this signing enough for you to feel confident about the Chiefs' cornerback situation?
We're going to talk more about it coming up in just a little bit and what the plan is, but this is exactly what I wanted the Chiefs to do. There were two positions I've said this entire time. I wanted the Chiefs to go get a one-year established veteran player. I said it at running back. They went and got Carlos Hyde. If you go draft a running back, that's perfectly fine. You go draft a running back in the fourth, fifth round, a guy you think can help you, a guy you think can turn into something, I'm all for it given the success of drafting mid-round running backs in the NFL. But they also needed an established veteran corner. Now, I'm not sitting here trying to paint it like I think Bashaud Breeland is the end-all, be-all, but you couldn't go into a season in which Kendall Fuller was your most experienced corner, and that was it. It was going to be Kendall Fuller, who I think is more than capable. You then were going to go down on Charvarius Ward, who you might be optimistic about. He has four starts in his NFL career. It was going to be Tremont Smith, who has four tackles in his NFL career. There was just not going to be a lot of experience, in which we agree is one of the most important position groups in your team. You're obviously set at quarterback. You're not set at pass rush right now, and you weren't set at corner. You got one of those things fixed. You're obviously set at the quarterback position. Now it's about getting somebody who you think can rush the passer, somebody who you think can get after the quarterback. And this will be a really successful offseason when it comes to free agency and team building for the Kansas City Chiefs. It was shaky for a minute, but we'll talk about it in a little bit. The plan has certainly come together for the Kansas City Chiefs. Four.
Final hit of the day is brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, now open in the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. The Chiefs almost had arguably the best safety duo in the NFL. This is according to Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. Chiefs thought they had a one-year, $12 million deal done with Earl Thomas after they had already signed Tyrann Mathieu. Here's Earl Thomas talking about that.
You're not good at this whole playing audio thing today.
Can you play that for me?
I got you. I need to play Earl Thomas. Yeah. All right. Give me a quick second. I was prepared to play Earl Thomas, but I got you, my guy.
So okay. I thought I was going to go to Kansas City. Okay. On a 2-year deal, 1-year deal. And I was just going to bet on myself and hit the market again. And then my agents called me, David Mulugeta and Andrew Kessler. I talked to them on the phone, and they said that Baltimore has a mega deal for you. And I say, hell yeah, that's where I'm going.
So they almost had a deal with Earl Thomas until they didn't. See, now, what does this news tell you about the Chiefs' plans with the defense? And do you still think they're going to end up going big game hunting the way that they tried to do with Earl Thomas?
I do. I remember what Veach had to say last week, and he talks about having the cap spaces and the cap resources to go out there, or the draft picks and the cap resources to go out there and make big time moves. The Chiefs are gearing up for something. I don't think we know what it is, but I think we have a good idea of they wanted to go get Earl Thomas and Tyrann Mathieu, and that was going to be their shake up the world kind of move. I don't think it's over for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they're going to have one more of those kind of moves, whether it's trading for Jadeveon Clowney, whether it's trading for Frank Clark, whether it's trading for a guy like Jalen Ramsey. I think it's safe to say anything is on the table for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think they have one more big-time, earth-shattering, top-of-the-story move in the NFL Because if you were willing to do that with Earl Thomas, I think you're willing to do that with a lot of other pieces. And Veach, he continues to call himself aggressive and be a gambler. You don't talk about those cap space and draft picks unless you're planning to use them, in my mind. And that concludes the hits for today. There's a little bit of news on Dean Wade. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But we have run a contest over the last 2 weeks where the winner got a hotel and 2 tickets to Thunder versus Nuggets and 2 tickets to Thunder versus the Mavericks. Dirk Nowitzki, I'm pretty sure he's going to announce his retirement. I just saw a tweet today. So your last chance to see Dirk. Denver's probably the second, third best team in the NBA. Russell Westbrook, Paul George. It was a really good prize, and we're going to start doing way more of this stuff moving forward. But BK, who won?
Yeah, so the winner for this Oklahoma City trip with, again, two pairs of tickets, two different games, Cole McCovin, Overland Park. Cole McCovin is our winner for the Oklahoma City trip. And again, like CDOT said, even this week, 2 o'clock hour, we've got $50 to La Bodega, $50 to Talk of the Town, $50 to 54th Street Bar and Grill. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to win some really cool prizes coming up on the drive. But for today, Cole McCovin is our winner for the Oklahoma City trip.
So this is from Tom Martin of KCTV5, friend of the show. He says, hearing this, there is a good chance Dean Wade's career is over at Kansas State. A source, quote, I would be very surprised if he played again this season. Tom continues on. Bruce Weber spoke with reporters this morning and said he would know more after Wade's evaluation this afternoon. We'll see what the school says, but it stinks to see Wade go through this in back-to-back tournaments, especially in his senior year. It's got to be incredibly frustrating if you're a K-State fan to feel as close as you feel and have something like this happen. We talk about sleeper teams and dangerous teams in the NCAA tournament and teams that you would not like to play, and K-State is near the top of that list. If we're talking about, aside from the Blue Bloods, if you had to give me teams that were not 1 or 2 seeds in the NCAA tournament, because obviously nobody wants to play Duke, nobody wants to play North Carolina, nobody wants to play Kentucky in the NCAA tournament, Kansas State is still at the top of that list. This Kansas State team has the guard play. They've got the senior leadership. They've got the depth. They've got the shooting. They've got the coaching. They have the experience. Kansas State has all the ingredients you would need to make a run and go to their first Final Four since 1964. I'm not saying that you can't do it without Dean Wade. You got to the Elite Eight last year, and you were a game away from going to the Final Four, and you were playing Loyola Chicago. So you certainly can do it again. But we talk about the crapshoot in which the NCAA tournament is, how it's right matchup, right shooting day, right foul trouble situation. A lot of things have to go correct for you to advance in the NCAA tournament multiple days, multiple weekends, and end up in Minneapolis. It's just disappointing because I think the hope and optimism with this K-State team was, BK, was this was the year that it was all going to come together. And for the most part, it has all come together. Now, I know you had a little disappointing non-con, but they've righted the ship. They won the Big 12 regular season. They had an okay showing in the conference tournament. Certainly would have loved to beat Iowa State, but no shame in losing a game late to Iowa State in which you don't have Dean Wade. This stinks for Kansas State, and it stinks for Dean Wade if he doesn't play. That again, if we were going to talk about sleepers, we were going to be having the national conversation about Kansas State and what teams would you not like to play. I think Auburn is probably at the top of that list given how they played in the SEC tournament. Kansas State was going to be, and they still could be, one of the 5 teams that you would not like to see in the NCAA tournament. So it's very disappointing that for yet another year, we will not get the opportunity to see that Kansas State team at full strength in the tournament.
I think the other thing here, CDOT, is things kind of, the way that it's set up for K-State, they have a chance to legitimately go on a run here. Like they should. It'll be maybe a difficult game more so than some people would believe. But UC Irvine, that's a game that K-State should win. And then they have every opportunity to beat either Wisconsin or Oregon. And if you're going to have to play a 1 seed in the Sweet 16, in terms of stylistically,
Virginia's probably the one you want to play.
The one that K-State probably would have the best shot against is Virginia, because they're not going to outshoot you. They're not going to score 85, 90 points. They're going to play the slow pace that you do.
They might not even be in that game, just given the fact what we saw last season.
Exactly. And then you add on the fact that I think Tennessee is vulnerable as a 2 seed. K-State was set up pretty well to be able to potentially go on a run here, but Dean Wade being out obviously doesn't help their chance.
Yeah, you just want to have all your you want to have all your ammunition, all your weapons when it comes to it, and it's disappointing for back-to-back years, especially with how Dean Wade has played, being a first-team All-Big 12 player. It happened during senior day. Just if this is the end, a disappointing end for Dean Wade. and I'm big on just not living with what ifs. I couldn't be 41-year-old Dean Wade and then think, man, for 2 years my body broke down and didn't give me the opportunity to compete in the biggest games for my team in the NCAA tournament. Just a very disappointing thing. We'll talk tournament here in just a little bit, but I want to get this point out about the Kansas City Chiefs in the 5 o'clock hour. We've talked a lot about the plan for the Kansas City Chiefs and what it was defensively. And for a long time, we didn't know what the plan was. We knew they had a plan, but we didn't know what the plan was. I think it has become very apparent over the last 48, 72, 96 hours on exactly what the Chiefs' defensive plan is. This would appear to be their plan to me. I think they looked at their roster. I think they looked at their locker room. I think they looked at the makeup of their team and thought, we need different kind of leadership with this team. Think about the guys that they have gotten rid of. I'm talking pillars in that locker room, guys that can go into the Chiefs Ring of Honor, Chiefs that are going into the Chiefs Hall of Fame, Chief players who in which you own their jerseys. They got rid of Eric Berry this offseason. They got rid of Justin Houston this offseason. They got rid of D Ford. They got rid of big-time, very productive players that I think they look at the overall makeup of their team, and they thought that they needed a different leader and a different voice and a different player for them to follow. I want to play for you guys what Brett Veach had to say about Tyrann Mathieu. Listen to how he talks about Mathieu and tell me that he's not looking at Mathieu as being the leader of this defense.
The one thing that we said, you know, you can acquire as many great players and as many talented players as you like, but until you have the catalyst to make it go, things will never work out the way you want them. And this was the catalyst that we had to have.
In the interview or the press conference on Friday, Veach called Tyrann Mathieu a catalyst, a leader, crown jewel of the defense, and ultimate chess piece. I was wrong. I thought the number one player they wanted was Landon Collins. Financially, didn't make sense. Financially, was not a move they were going to make. I thought they wanted Landon Collins because he played with Spagnuolo's system. They really wanted him at the trade deadline. It would have made a lot of sense if they went and grabbed Landon Collins. They went and got a player in Tyrann Mathieu that I think has the utmost respect of guys in that locker room. And I think we're starting to see the kind of players that Veach wants and the big-time kind of moves he's going to make. BK, we agree. The three players that we've seen him openly go after are Mathieu, Earl Thomas, and Patrick Peterson. Those have been the guys. Three established veterans, three guys that were really good college players. They got respect from those guys. Three guys that have translated incredibly well to the NFL. Guys with great name recognition in the NFL. I think that was the number one part of the plan was, if we're going to have a different mindset for this defense, we need a different leader for the defense. Number two part of the plan was, I think they were done with the Eric Berry charade. Done. We're not doing it this year. It's possible that Eric Berry plays a healthy amount this season. I wouldn't be shocked if EB plays 10 games this year, 11 games this year, 16. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But I think it's possible that Eric Berry plays a substantial amount of football in 2019. And the Chiefs just, they couldn't let that define their defense the way that I think it did for some of last season. Some of Eric Berry's deficiencies, some of his not being there kind of defined the season. And I think for too long, the Chiefs had waited and waited and hoped that things were going to change with Eric Berry, and they never changed with EB. That they had to do something different. And the first chance they had when it came time for them to really make a decision of how they felt about Eric Berry, they told you. If he was still on the team, they would have gave him $7.25 million. That's not what smart organizations do. Smart organizations are not giving Eric Berry $7.25 million for the exact same scenario as last season. So Godspeed to EB. I wish you well. You certainly deserve your day in the sun in Kansas City. But we're trying to win a Super Bowl here. You'll have your time halftime for another game. But we got to move forward here, and we got to move in a different direction. I would say number three part of their plan was finding veteran quarterback play. They brought in Ronald Darby, didn't end up signing. They brought in Denard. We'll see if he signs from the Cincinnati Bengals. And then you signed Rashad Breeland, a guy who you clearly liked. You had him in here last season for 2 days or 48 hours. Really liked him, wanted to sign him. He went elsewhere. I think they wanted to find veteran cornerback play. They went out and got it. They got a lot of youth on that team, a whole lot of youth. And not calling Bashaud Breeland an old guy, but he's 27, 28 years old. He's the elder statesman now of your secondary. Of not safeties or non-safeties, of strictly cornerbacks, you needed an elder statesman, a guy who's been around for a while, a guy who's a little bit versatile, a guy who can do a lot of things, a guy who's still motivated. That's who you got in Bashaud Breeland. And last thing here, and I don't think we've got to this part of the plan yet, they got to find pass rush. They got to. They lost almost 60% of the pass rush that they had last season when it comes to sacks, pressures, and getting to the quarterback. You got to fix that part of it. I know that the Chiefs finished first in sacks and the Patriots finished 30th in sacks, so we're not going to value getting to the quarterback, but it still matters. The Chiefs are the best in the NFL at throwing the football. Now you got to be best at defending the pass. And I don't got to tell you guys, they were not good at it last year, that they use sacks a lot of time to mask the deficiencies of the rest of their team. You still need guys who can get pressure on the quarterback, and you probably need one more corner. So I wouldn't be shocked with that first pick. They go corner. Wouldn't be shocked if they go edge rusher. There's still some glaring needs on this defense. But if you're asking me today, is their defense better? I would say slightly. I think their defense is a little bit better equipped, and they don't need a whole lot. Now, you might be saying they lost pass rush. That's a big deal. Absolutely. But it's still some pass rush out there. And Ndamukong Suh is still out there. Clay Matthews is still out there. Ziggy Ansah is still out there. You can still get some pass rush. Is it the pass rush you had last season? No. But you can still get pass rush. So I think it's kind of clear what their plan was. We got to find a new leader for this defense. You went and got it in Tyrann Mathieu. Even if Eric Berry is healthy and can play this year, we got to go in a different direction. They did. We got to find veteran cornerback play. They clearly targeted veteran cornerback play. Went after Darby. Went after Denard. Signed Bashaud Breeland. All similar price range kind of players. And then the next part of the plan is they got to find their new defensive line. They got to find their group of guys that can get to the quarterback. So, BK, I think it's clear that the Chiefs, the plan is in motion and so far working well for Veach and company.
I think the one thing that I'm still wondering is how they view their defensive line, because we've had a lot of texts that say something to this effect, and I think maybe they're onto something. The Chiefs, based on their moves this offseason, both the ones that they've made and the ones that they tried to make, have told us that they believe the pass defense was a secondary issue. They wanted to go get Earl Thomas and Tyrann Mathieu and go out and sign Bashaud Breeland. That was the way that they were going to fix that issue. And then the defensive line was going to fix the run issue. And that's why you bring in an Alex Okafor. That's what Derek Nnadi's here for. That's what Breeland Speaks is here for. That's why Dee Ford is not here anymore. I think that's another message that the Chiefs have sent with their moves.
A little bit of breaking news right now in the NFL. A source tells Ian Rappaport and Therese Paylor, the Chiefs' former safety, Eric Berry, is visiting the Cowboys tomorrow. That is his first visit there. If you know the Cowboys, they were also in on Earl Thomas. They've been rumored to get Earl Thomas for 2 years, it sounds like. Would make a lot of sense. Good defense. Can plug him right in there. Eric Berry is making his first free agent visit. He is visiting the Dallas Cowboys on Tuesday. We'll obviously keep you updated on what happens with Eric Berry. I got no issues with EB. I get why if you're a fan, you do. It didn't work out. Eric Berry's contract might be the worst in Kansas City history. You can talk about the Gilmesh deal. At least he played. You can talk about the Jose Guillen deal. At least he suited up. If we're talking about what you paid player and what you got back in return, you cannot sign a worse contract than what the Chiefs gave Eric Berry. But Godspeed to you. I hope you get healthy. I hope that the treatment works. I hope you go on and have a lot of success. But I definitely understand why Chiefs fans will feel a kind of way if he goes to the Cowboys and then he gets healthy and he gets right and he's flying around and making plays. I definitely will understand why there will be a little saltiness and a little bit of bitterness and a little bit of resentment if Eric Berry this upcoming season is healthy and balling for the Cowboys.
Eric Berry has played 3 games in the regular season since he signed that contract. 3 games total for the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know that there's ever been a guy that was liked more than Eric Berry before he signed that deal and had more public sentiment behind him that everybody agreed the Chiefs had to re-sign this guy, and then it went worse as quickly as it did with Eric Berry. And it wasn't necessarily his fault.
No, I 100% agree with you. His body ultimately gave out.
Right.
But just the breaking news, if you guys missed it, Eric Berry is going to take a visit to the Dallas Cowboys, a team that definitely needs a safety. I'm going to guess if his medicals check out, which that's a huge if with Eric Berry, I think he signs with the Cowboys. The Cowboys are one of the teams that need safety help who we know have been aggressive in trying to find a safety. So it would make a lot of sense for Eric Berry to land with the Dallas Cowboys. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back into March Madness and talk a little bit of brackets and tournament. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive
presented by Tecate.
Back in on the drive, talking a little bit of NCAA tournament. I've got one KU take, one K-State take, and one national take. We'll get to all that coming up in this segment. Let's start with K-State, the best team in the area. That feels kind of good to say, I'm not going to lie to you. Especially as a lifelong fan as myself. Been waiting a long time for this. I think that too much weight was placed on Kansas State in basically two games. Basically, the loss to Texas A&M. Basically, the loss to Tulsa. And that's ultimately what stopped them from being in Kansas City as opposed to Kansas, who had wins over Tennessee in the early part of the season, Michigan State in the early part of the season, Marquette in the early part of the season. Those games ended up costing K-State at the end. We can agree or disagree on if that's fair or not. But this is the argument that I have for Kansas State. Again, as a lifelong fan. So let me go ahead and acknowledge my bias at the beginning. I'm a lifelong K-State fan. What did winning the Big 12 accomplish for K-State? What did they get? Because Kansas State won the Big 12 this year. They went farther than Texas Tech in the Big 12 tournament. What did that get them? It didn't get them the closest first and second round region. They got sent to San Jose while Texas Tech got sent to Tulsa, which makes sense because Texas Tech got the higher seed. But if you're K-State, you didn't get that benefit as a Big 12 champion. Typically, the Big 12 champion, which is normally Kansas, and also they get a 1 or 2 seed, which is obviously a lot different. They get placed in whatever the best first and second round place is, and they should. That should be the reward for having a great season. If you have great seasons, like we've seen Kansas do in years past, and like K-State has done, where you win your conference, you should get the reward at the end of the season. Aside from a t-shirt and memories, what did winning the Big 12 give K-State? K-State got treated like they were the third best team in the conference. Look at the overall seedings and where they ranked. Look at where KU was ranked. Look at the situation in which KU got placed. Look at the situation in which Kansas State got placed. Look at the situation that Iowa State got placed. Who would you rather be, K-State or Iowa State? A lot of you might pick Iowa State, and I won't fault you if you pick Iowa State. That to me, the tournament has to be a little bit more than quadrant one wins that your team got when their best player was healthy, who hasn't been healthy the entire Big 12 conference play. There's no denying that KU had good wins over the course of the season. It's just that they were a completely different team once Udoka got hurt and with no Legero Vic. But I look at K-State, I just want to know what winning the Big 12 got them. It didn't really get you a whole lot.
Can I argue for it real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
The one thing that I would say K-State did get, they got a better path to the Sweet 16. I think their path to the Sweet 16 is easier than the path that KU drew, and it is easier than the path that Iowa State drew, because Iowa State would probably have to play Houston in the second round. Houston's really good.
Mm-hmm.
KU's probably going to have to play Auburn in the second round.
Good team.
Auburn's really good. If K-State makes it to the second round, they've got either Wisconsin or Oregon. I think both of those teams are worse than the two teams that I just mentioned that either Iowa State or KU would have to face.
I agree with you, but if you were Kansas State, would you trade that for the opportunity to play in Kansas City? And K-State fans would show up for that. Like, K-State fans, I'm not calling you Iowa State fans. I don't think you're Kentucky. K-State fans would be all up and down power and light if you won the Big 12, you got placed in Kansas City, you get a chance to see them beat Kentucky again if they had just swapped them out with Iowa State. Now, you wouldn't want to be a 6 seed, but follow me on this. You'd be excited about it. That, to me, part of the selection process has to be rewarding you for the things you accomplished throughout the course of the season. Not these arbitrary, oh, this is a quadrant one win. Nobody talks about quadrant one wins in January or February. KU's not hanging banners up for quadrant one wins because no one cares about that. I'm not saying it's not important, but no one cares about that. You know what matters? Winning your conference in the regular season. That means over an 18-game sample in the Big 12 or a 20-game sample in the Big 10, you were better than all these teams. They were two games better than KU. Two. two games better than them.
And split the head-to-head. So it's not like KU went 2-0 against them, and then over the course of the rest of the season, K-State was better. They split the head-to-head.
That you should get a reward at the end of the season. And K-State didn't get any rewards. You don't play in Tulsa, which is 250 miles away from Manhattan. You don't get placed in Kansas City, where Iowa State, another team who you accomplished more than, even though they beat you twice this year as opposed to one, they got the reward of playing in Kansas City and Kansas. Tomorrow, if KU and K-State played on a neutral site, K-State would be favored over KU. KU fan, who had the better season? Would you trade your season for Kansas State's season? And I'm going to guess the answer is yes. So they should have got more reward for me than what they got. When it comes to Kansas moving on from K-State, I think that it really came down to the all-important argument for KU. Body of work versus how they're playing now. Because their body of work, if you're making the body of the work argument for KU, I get it. I disagree, given the fact that we know they're a different team. Like Duke, they're the number one overall seed in this tournament. If Zion Williamson wasn't playing and the tournament made him a 3 seed, I would get it. Based on how they played when they didn't have Zion Williamson, I would 100% get it. Now, the fact they have Zion, they've only lost 2 games with them, I get how they're the 1 seed. But if Zion had decided 2 weeks ago, I'm not coming back, I'm going to prepare for the NBA draft, and then Duke gets a 3 seed, that seems fair to me. KU, to me, is still being propped up by the committee, and I think what happened at the end is they're propped up by how they were against Tennessee, how they were against Michigan State. And KU fans, we watch this team. You are not that same team. Now, I say all that to say, I cannot think of a time, and BK, correct me if I'm wrong, where I've seen KU fans as down on their team as this one. I'm not hearing a whole lot of optimism from this KU group. I'm not hearing a lot of optimism, and we're going to advance to the second weekend. That, as weird as this may sound, and you can hit the hot take horn if you want, KU fans have turned into Missouri fans. For this individual team, you have become Missouri fans. That, as a Missouri fan, I can speak for it. We love to talk down on our team. We almost get a sick thrill from it. I love telling you that Missouri's not good and that they're going to disappoint you, that they're going to let you down. Is that not what KU fan has done over the last couple of weeks? I have heard very little about this KU team that KU fans like. I've heard a lot more of what we don't like from this team and how disappointing that they are. And they've given you reasons to be disappointed. I would then take it one step further if you wanted the hot take horn. That the goal that they have is not much different than 35 other teams in this tournament. We hope we can win a game. Anything after that we'll take as gravy. That the KU team that I know, the KU team that I grew up with, the KU team that I go, oh, that team, they're used to hanging banners. They're used to being a lock for the second round of the NCAA tournament. We're making our vacation plans around the fact of KU's going to be in the second round or the third and fourth round of the NCAA tournament. I don't think that's the case. I don't know how you're looking at this team as they're a lock to make it, even though they're the 4 seed. Auburn is playing better than them. Auburn will be favored in that game. I just haven't seen a lot of hope and optimism around this team. When it comes to nationally and looking at the tournament from a big picture standpoint, I think this tournament is very easy to recognize. And I don't mean this as shade towards anybody. Name 5 players in the NCAA tournament that do not play on Kansas, K-State, or Missouri. And I think you'll come up with a really hard time doing it. There's only 1 star this year in college basketball. It's Zion Williamson. College basketball this season has not built up equity in any other player in the NCAA tournament. Like, you were talking earlier about Ja Morant from Murray State, really good player. You got to be a hardcore college basketball fan to know who he is.
Or an NBA fan who's watching for the draft.
And he could be incredible. He could be the closest thing to Russell Westbrook we've seen since Russell Westbrook. He is an incredible individual talent. College basketball fan has no clue who he is.
Marcus Howard. Guy that plays for Marquette, really good player, NBA draft prospect, going up against Ja Morant in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Casual college basketball fan hasn't watched him.
That you'll know that Kentucky, let's look at them. Normally they have that stud one and done player. Don't have it this year. Carolina, there's no stud one and done player on this team. That's just a good college basketball team, a well-coached college basketball team.
And 10-year veteran Luke May.
This college basketball season is about one person. That I look at the NCAA tournament, and it seems very obvious to me. Coach K has to get to the Final Four. For everybody else, it'd be nice if they get to the Final Four. Duke has to get to the Final Four. That every 3-4 years, every major coach has the team in which that's the one that needs to get to the Final Four. A couple years ago for KU, when they had Josh Jackson, when they had Frank Mason, when they had Devontae Graham, back in 2011 when they played VCU in the Elite Eight and they had the Morris twins. There is a group of players that you have in which you feel you have to get to the Final Four with those teams, and we give you a little bit of a knock for not getting to it with those teams. John Calipari, you had John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Eric Bledsoe, Daniel Orton. You had 6 NBA players get drafted in the first round and did not make the Final Four. If you're telling me that Coach K and Duke, and with how this tournament is, and again, Zion's the only star. I'm not saying that they're not going to create a star. It's the NCAA tournament. There's going to be another star of the tournament by the end of this conversation. By the end of this, by the time baseball has started, we will know another college basketball player, and he will captivate the hearts and minds of America. But right now, there's only one. There's only one that we care about as a collective when it comes to college basketball, and it's Zion Williamson. He has made the Final Four. You've given Coach K a top 5 pick in RJ Barrett. You've given him Cameron Reddish, who's a top 15 pick, certainly a lottery pick in the NBA draft. And you've given him not the best player in college basketball. Zion Williamson is more than that. He is a transcendent star in college basketball. He is the greatest college basketball player, the most dynamic college basketball player that we've seen maybe of this generation. And I don't say that lightly. As someone who watched Anthony Davis when he was in college, someone who watched Carmelo Anthony, someone who watched Michael Beasley, Zion Williamson is better than those guys. I remember thinking that Michael Beasley was the best college basketball player I ever seen in my life. And he was amazing. Zion Williamson is a better college basketball player. He is a better pro prospect than what Michael Beasley was. Zion Williamson is the best pro prospect we've seen since LeBron. Has to make the Final Four. It's that simple. Carolina doesn't have to make the Final Four. Kentucky doesn't have to make the Final Four. Tennessee doesn't. LSU doesn't. KU doesn't. Only one team has to make the Final Four, and that's Zion Williamson and Duke. You have to. Coming up in just a little bit, San Francisco doesn't think much differently than I do about D Ford, but the Chiefs certainly do. We'll get into it. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Text line 69306 on the Protein House Eat With a Purpose text line. Do you think the crying K-State fan and her friend should make a point to be at every game? Did you guys see that? I was trying to understand what was happening. If you guys missed it, at the end of the K-State-Iowa State game, there was a young lady and she was crying. And her friend was trying to stop her from crying. I don't know if the fan knew that K-State has another game after this. At the Big 12 tournament is not the end of the season. Now, if you want to cry when your team's season ends, I get it. I understand the disappointment of seeing your team lose right in front of you. As a Missouri fan, I've seen a lot. I've seen my team lose in front of me more times. I've seen them lose more times in front of me than I've seen them win in front of me. So I know the feeling. I just can't imagine crying that my team was eliminated in the conference tournament when they're going to make the tournament.
My favorite part was actually her friend who just told her, stop. You have to stop it right now.
No, her friend was real. Her friend was real. Everybody needs that friend. When you are, you know, looking kind of silly, and I understand being emotional, you're looking a little goofy in front of all of us, your friend's like, yo, stop. Cut it out. They play here in 4 days. And we can go if you want, but stop it. You got to stop crying. No, I appreciate her. Someone said on the Protein House Eat With a Purpose text line, do you think Zion is better than KD? I think that Zion is a better college player and pro prospect than Kevin Durant. I have no clue if he'll become the NBA player that Kevin Durant is. Like, KD might be one of the top 15 players in the history of the NBA. I don't know if Zion's going to be that. He could be Larry Johnson, really great player, not top 15 all time. Might be Blake Griffin, really good player, not top 15 all time. KD is an incredible NBA player. But Zion is just, what's the holes in his game? And if you're telling me that it's shooting, I can live with that. Man, I've seen LeBron wasn't a great shooter at 19 years old. He wasn't a great shooter at 22 years old. He just had other world athleticism and can do a lot of other things. I just look at Zion. I don't know what Zion can't do.
And for a lot of our audience, maybe some of them haven't seen Zion. I think the number one thing that stands out to me about him, C-Dot, is like obviously the sheer athleticism, but also the dude just works so hard on both sides of the court. Like it, him playing defense is almost as much fun as him going up for a dunk because his motor never stops.
That's the thing that I think makes Zion a little bit differently is he comes off as wanting to play defense. That he is a transcendent player on the offensive side of the ball. He's also transcendent on the defensive side of the floor. Tell me when you see some of the closeouts that we see from Zion. I would understand if Zion was playing 80% on defense and just, hey, I'm gonna get buckets here. I'm going to score 25 every night. No one can guard me, but I'm not going to. He works hard on the defensive and has improved as a defensive player. Just
You're going to see a three-point attempt blocked by Zion if you watch a Duke game. It's going to happen.
It's hands down who you would take if you had the number one overall pick. I want to make this point about another physical freak, D. Ford. Because, you know, I mean, he's kind of built like Zion Williamson, honestly.
Oh, God.
He is. Look at D. Ford.
Man, he ain't looking like Zion. I was a little over the top.
It was
a good transition, but we can move on from
Sometimes you got to rein me in a little bit. I understand. I get excited. The 49ers signed D. Ford to a contract that I think D. Ford is worth.
See, I got more excited about his transition than I do about the cap.
I know, I was wrong. All right, I was wrong. All right, relax. I look at D. Ford, and I said the entire time, I would not sign D. Ford to a long-term deal, not sign him to a long-term deal. Neither did the 49ers. And maybe BK and I are the only people that care about the salary cap. I love talking salary cap. I love talking salary cap equally as much as I like talking about the actual games. Like how the puzzles fit into building a team, I'm not going to lie to you guys, it excites me. Maybe all of us think we could be a general manager. All of us think we could be an offensive coordinator. I enjoy talking about the salary cap. If you look at the way D. Ford's contract is structured, they signed him to basically a franchise tag. His deal is 5 years, $87 million. And I was thinking, man, I can't believe the Niners would give that much money to D. Ford. But the devil is in the details. That's not his contract. His contract's not 5 years, $87 million. It's 1 year for $19.75 million, and then it's 4 1-year team options after that. So let's say that D. Ford this one season, you guys don't believe that he's that good. You think D. Ford can't stay healthy. You think he was just balling because it was a contract year. All valid points. Let's say D. Ford goes out there this year and has 7 sacks next year, and then you're saying Chiefs fan. See, I told you. Told you he wasn't that good. Told you he stunk. San Francisco can get out of that contract with very little penalty. They gave themselves all the security that you should have when you sign somebody like D. Ford. I don't disagree with you guys. I never disagree with you guys. I get why you're soured on D. Ford. I didn't get why you were soured on D. Ford for a 1 year deal, which is exactly what he signed with San Francisco. San Francisco traded a future second round draft pick to Kansas City for D. Ford, and he signed a 1 year, $19.75 million contract with 4 1-year options that they can get out of at any point after that. That's a good contract to me if you're San Francisco. It's a good contract for D. Ford. You get a little bit of a guarantee. Hey, give me my $20 million today, and then if I keep producing, I keep balling, you'll keep picking up these options, and I'll get paid, or I can go back on the open market and hopefully get another contract like this. This is a win-win for everybody. It's protection for San Francisco. It's still incentive for him or for D. Ford to go out there and keep balling, and it protects the San Francisco 49ers in case of injury. This is a good contract. I'm surprised the Chiefs seem to have no interest in this contract. We've been talking about it. The Chiefs have given you no reason to think that they believe in D. Ford long-term, that they plan on signing D. Ford to a long-term extension, and they didn't. They traded him. They traded him as quick as you can trade somebody. The Chiefs never gave you reason to think that they believed in D. Ford. I'm just a little bit surprised of they didn't believe in D. Ford enough for a 1 year deal. That's what it was. They didn't like him. They didn't like D. Ford on a guaranteed 1 year $15 million deal. They didn't like D. Ford on a guaranteed 1 year $19 million deal with team options after that. There just seemed to be no scenario in which this organization wanted to bring back D. Ford.
I think that's what they told us with this contract is that they didn't want him back. And I think there's a number of reasons. I think some of that is the scheme. I think some of it is his lack of ability to play against the run, and they decided they didn't want to be the team that paid him. And we can disagree with it all we want. If they spend the money in the right way, maybe it works out for him for the best.
Text line 69306 on the Approaching Eat with the Purpose text line. Every football contract should be like D. Ford's contract. I get why if I got leverage, I'm not signing that deal. If I'm Mahomes, I'm not signing D. Ford's contract. I'm not still proving myself to you. I've proven I won MVP. Let me on the open market, and I'll get $200 million. if Mahomes is the open market, he might get 225 if he's the open market. So, yeah, every contract can't be D4's contract. D4 just doesn't have a whole lot of leverage. Like, if you were D4, were you going to continue to bet on yourself? That's what it was going to be. It was going to be another year of betting on yourself if you're D4. Another year of it. And, man, part of the betting on yourself is eventually to cash out. You cashed out. You got more money than what Kansas City was going to give you. And then if you keep performing and proving people wrong, you keep getting paid. That's a $20 million guaranteed, then goes to $39 million guaranteed, then goes to $47 million guaranteed. It was a smart contract, really, for all sides. I'm just surprised that the Chiefs didn't really have much of an interest in signing it. Thanks a lot for listening. Back again tomorrow is Carrington Harrison's, my guy Brandon Kiley. Do us a favor. Download the podcast you threw me off there for a second. Download the podcast page. Also, go on iTunes and download us on iTunes. Back again tomorrow, 2 o'clock. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.